Hello, Forks and Spoons, Knives and Other Cutlery. I'm your host, Christina.
And I'm Tori.
And this is episode 9 of Calling the Shots, the podcast where we reminisce on the good old Twilight days. Yay!
Yay!
All right, so we have yet another week recording this podcast, so we do indeed have a quiz for our icebreaker. And the quiz that we decided to take is titled, Not Gonna Lie, This Jacob-Specific Twilight Quiz is Super Hard, which happens to be from BuzzFeed. And I literally looked at the first question when I pulled it up, and I was like, oh no, I don't even know if I can answer this. It's
kind of hard, but we'll see how we do.
Yeah. Tori, you can start with whatever the first question is, and we'll go from there.
All right. Question one. How did Jacob's mom die? Vampire attack, car crash, bear attack, or wolf attack? I would say car crash. That seems the most likely.
How horrible would it be if it was a wolf attack?
That would be really ironic and really sad.
I'm also trying to remember, was that mentioned? I don't know if it was mentioned in the first two books, at least.
I don't know. I really don't remember.
I think I want to say wolf attack just to see.
Say it. Go for it.
Okay. Oh, no. It was a car crash.
Yeah, it was a car crash. All right. What was the next question?
The next one is, what are his sisters' names? And the options are Rachel and Rebecca, Sam and Pat, Joanna and Jackie, or Laura and Bella. Oh my gosh, if one of his sister's names were Bella, and then he obviously has a crush on Bella throughout this entire series, that'd be like,
that'd be
a little bit of a sister complex right there.
Rachel, Rebecca
is the correct answer. I hope it is.
Imagine if it was Sam and Pat. I don't know why.
That's the correct answer. It says Paul imprints on Rachel, and Rebecca is married to Solomon Finau.
Okay, what was his mother's name? Stephanie, Julie, Rosie, or Sarah? Oh, I don't know. Oh,
damn, I don't know.
I feel like it's either Julie or Sarah, but I don't know.
Well, we can both pick one. I want to pick Sarah.
All right, I'll pick Julie.
Okay.
Okay. No!
It was Sarah! I definitely don't remember that. It was just like a random guess.
That was a guess.
Next question. What color is Jacob's fur? Wolf fur described as, oh, we know the answer to the ghost. The options are canary brown, gray, russet brown, or black. What is canary brown?
I thought canary was yellow.
That's what I thought too.
Us at the same time, we're just, what?
The answer better be russet brown.
It better be. All right, Stephanie Meyer. We were going to be disappointed if it wasn't russet brown.
I was going to be upset if I didn't get to say russet brown. Next question.
All right, why does Jacob grow out his hair again after he realizes he's a shapeshifter? Because it keeps him warm, because Bella likes it long, because it makes him faster, because it makes him smell better. That's
what?
I don't even remember that.
I don't remember that either.
Get to that later, but I literally do not know. Imagine because it makes him faster. That's funny. Just like long hair makes you just whip faster.
I'm pretty sure that's not the case. I literally
probably
don't
to keep him warm.
I'm assuming it's Bella either I'm assuming either it's because it keeps him warm or because Bella likes it long. But
all right, which one do you want to pick?
I guess I'll choose because Bella likes it long.
Yep, that was it. All because of Bella.
Oh, okay. Next question is, in the movie, what does Jacob say when he and Bella, what does Jacob say he and Bella did when they were younger? They poured paint on each other, they made mud pies, they fought, or they played tag.
Imagine if it was just pour paint on each other.
What if it was they fought each other?
The answer is mud pies.
It's mud pies.
All right, who did Jacob mistakenly think was calling the Swan residence in New Moon? Rosalie, Alice, Edward, or Carlisle? It was Carlisle.
It was Carlisle. I don't even think it's mentioned in the movie. Who
No, it's not.
Next question is, how high can Jacob's body temperature reach? And the options are 200 degrees Fahrenheit, 108.9 degrees Fahrenheit, 98.5 degrees Fahrenheit, or 150.8 degrees Fahrenheit.
I feel like it's 108.9.
That's such a specific number.
Like a radio station.
I feel like he definitely did say it in the movie.
It's like, I feel like in the movie he just says 100 degrees though, so.
I can't even remember that detail. I don't know why my first instinct was to be 200.
Okay, you can go for 200 if you want.
I feel like that's not the answer, but I'm gonna do it just to be funny. Oh, that was the last question. How many?
I got 6 right? out of 8 right.
Oh, me too. I guess we probably have the same description, but it says you definitely know a lot about Jacob Black. You stumbled in a few spots, but it's nothing to whine about or howl about. Okay. Your love for Twilight runs deep. And then it says that I scored better than 84% of quiz takers.
Yep. That's what mine said too.
Cool. I think. Well, the reason that we chose this quiz for today's episode is because we finally got to watch the New Moon movie, which is most commonly known for being, I guess, the Jacob-focused movie of the entire Twilight series. So it only made sense for us to choose a Jacob-specific quiz for this Jacob-specific movie. Now we can get into, I guess, our initial thoughts on the movie. How did you feel rewatching this movie again, Tori?
I thought I was going to be a lot sadder than I was because reading the book, I was so sad. Mm-hmm. But I feel like so much happened in such a short period of time. I didn't have time to be sad.
I feel like even in the parts that were technically supposed to be sad, they didn't really utilize the actors and actresses to actually portray that. Like, it wasn't until the second time I rewatched the movie, which I didn't even get to watch the second time in its entirety, but I watched like a majority of it. It was only after that second watch that I got to like notice, like, oh yeah, Edward, his face looks a lot sadder in this movie, which... like, you're like, oh, okay, it's because he's going to leave. But I don't know. I feel like they should have made Bella's character, like, even more visually sad, if that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, so much of the book is about Bella being depressed, and that's just not portrayed in the movie at all. It really just is like, oh, a breakup happened, and then she has a rebound guy, and then her guy comes back. It doesn't portray that, like, depression that she actually goes through.
I'm like, I don't want to sound like I'm being sadistic or anything, but, like, I wanted to see... like emotional distress, like she was just so distraught over this, and I feel like they didn't do that. Even in the scene where like Edward tells her that he doesn't want her to be with him anymore, or that he doesn't want her, in the subtitles it'll be like she's sobbing, they'll say like sobs, but like she isn't sobbing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, this really did feel like the love triangle-y movie, you know. It's not really portrayed that intensely in the book, but it's definitely magnified in the movie. And the director even said that this movie was made for the fans. And I guess that's what the fans wanted. They didn't want to see depressed Bella. They wanted to see hot Jacob without a shirt. That's what Chris Weitz thought we wanted.
It's the only
one. And maybe when we were 12, we did want that. But do we want that now? No.
No. I want a redo. I want depressed Bella.
We want pre-therapy Bella, not shirtless Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, my like very, very initial thoughts when I watched the movie the first time, there were like a few things that I got bothered by. One of them being like they really just kind of inserted Jacob in randomly. Like he didn't enter the scenes of the movie as seamlessly as maybe he was written in the book. And I was talking about this with one of my friends, and she was saying like that was part of why she disliked Jacob's character so much, because it seemed like they just kind of threw him in there without like much reason. So like you're watching the movie and you're like, why is this guy here? Like he doesn't seem like he really has a big part in the film's story and stuff like that. So that kind of annoyed me when I rewatched it the first time. I was like, why are they keep throwing Jacob in here? Like he has a portion in this movie. They should have used him better. And then the other one was just like, I think this also confirms what I was saying in our last episode, how I thought New Moon's plot lines definitely could have been separated into two. And you could feel that also in the movie. So much stuff happens in such a short amount of time that you don't really get too invested in each of the portions. It's like Bella goes into a depressive episode because her boyfriend leaves, Jacob comes in, then Victoria is introduced somehow, and then suddenly Alice is back, and then they go to Italy for the Volturi to save Edward, and it's like the end. I was like, what?
That also really connected. Mm-hmm. At least in the book it feels a little more cohesive, but because it's such a short amount of time to tell so many stories, like how do you fit all of that into such a short movie and do it well, you know?
Yeah, and you do notice, I guess, how they choose specific things in order to, like, connect all the different parts. Like, I remember seeing the way they introduced the motorcycles in the movie was completely different than how it was introduced in the book. I also had this like thought process that if you didn't read the book, I feel like the movie would be a little hard for you to follow.
I could see that.
If you didn't know the details of the book and then you were watching the movie, I feel like you'd be a little confused as to like, why is this, this, and this, and that, and that, and that.
It's definitely not my favorite.
It's not my favorite, which we kind of guessed after just like hearing our thoughts about the book itself. But there are differences about, you know, between the movie and the book, which we did talk a little bit about just now.
Oh boy, I have a ton of differences. Let me find some of the like most notable ones. They play out the scene where Edward's talking about the Volturi in Carlisle's office in this movie. I know they talk about it in Twilight, the book, but they actually play it out in this movie. So that's kind of cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about Bella having a job, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. I thought
that was something really important.
They don't really, because they took out the part of her having a part-time job, they had to introduce the whole fact that there were these apparent bear attacks in a different way. And the way that they had introduced it was through, it's like Bella's driving to school on her birthday and she has the radio playing in her truck. And that's when it starts talking about like the recent bear attacks and how many people have died recently and stuff like that. And I was like, but yeah, there actually isn't much talk about the wolves in the movie. Or the wolf attack, or the bear attacks in the movie.
Yeah, not really. I think later on they say that there's been another one and Harry's just standing there like, oh, yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
In on it. Another difference that there was, Edward doesn't hide her pictures in the movie. Like in the book, he puts everything under her floorboards and pretends like he just gets rid of everything. But in the movie, as the months go on, you can see the pictures like slowly come down from her wall, which I think is really important because that shows like her moving on instead of like
him disappearing.
Yeah, exactly. Which plays more into the whole love triangle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally understand why people think that that's how it's working. You know, she's slowly getting over Edward and not trying to find somebody to heal what was broken when he left, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I also, and maybe this is because I was just paying extra attention to this setting, but there's a photo in her bedroom of Bella and Mike. And I thought it was just really funny that it like, there's just like one photo in one of the like early scenes of the movie where Bella's just like standing next to Mike.
Just another random little difference. Edward's literally talking about like committing vampire suicide in the middle of English class.
Yeah.
In the movie, in the book, where are they? Like Bella's room or living room or something?
Mm-hmm.
They're in fucking English class.
Yeah.
He's saying it so loud and casual. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna go kill myself. And isn't that cool?
But they're watching Romeo and Juliet in class and Edward's literally like, man, Romeo's so lucky. Bella's like, why? He's just like, because he can kill himself. And I'm like, whoa, man.
But I love how when Edward says that Romeo's so lucky, she's like, yeah, Juliet's like pretty. Hot.
Yeah.
Like, bye, Bella.
Bye, Bella has returned.
Are there any significant differences you caught on to?
I did. So unless like maybe this was actually said in the book and I completely forgot, but Bella attempts to like keep Alice in the loop through emails. And I'm like, that didn't happen, did it?
No, I don't think that happened in the book.
Yeah, I think they use that as like a way to like help Bella act as a narrator. But yeah, in order to keep like the narration going in the New Moon movie, Bella emails Alice kind of like giving her updates on how she's been doing since the Cullens left and stuff like that. And she even attempts to talk about Jacob a little bit, but I was like, oh wait, that didn't happen in the book. But all the emails bounce back because the email address doesn't exist and stuff, and I'm like, oh okay, the
email address is like alicecullen@me.com or something like yeah. That it's the funniest thing. I was cracking up at it. Sorry,
like,
to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Her email address is like acullen@me.com.
Yeah, something like that.
I was like, I think that's
very mid-2000s. I love it.
But the other difference that I was going to bring up is that I thought Jasper graduated in New York.
Yeah, he was supposed to graduate in Twilight, but
and then he He didn't in the movie version, at least. So because in the very beginning, when Bella goes to school, it's her birthday and Alice pops up to give her a birthday present. But then Jasper's there too. And I was like, wait a second. I thought you're supposed to be in college, quote, college. But that's another difference that I remembered from the beginning portion of the movie.
They don't talk about that there's like a sickness going around. That's why everybody's canceling on them for the movies and probably why Mike gets sick.
Yeah. They also have like a much smaller group though.
And also they changed the name to Face Punch, which I think is hilarious. I don't remember what it's called in the book, but it's not called Face Punch.
Face Punch.
Faces.
Face Punch. Another difference was when Bella and Jessica first go to Port Angeles to see the movie, they were going to go to McDonald's after the movie had ended, and I think they walk by like a bar or something, and then that's when Bella tries to approach the guys because she, quotes, thinks that she knows them from somewhere. But in this one, she approaches the guys and then she fucking she fucking gets on the back of this dude's motorcycle.
Ridiculous. If I was Jess, I would kill Bella. I would never speak to her again.
But like even that interaction was like so weird because like the guy, I don't know, is this like a thing that biker dudes do or biker gangs do? They just try to pick up chicks and like have them ride on the back of their motorcycles?
I don't know, but like Bella's talking to herself on the back of this man's motorcycle and he stops. He's like, he probably is more scared of her than she is of him.
Also, that entire scene, like, because the dude that they chose, like, was obviously much older than her and,
yeah,
like, wasn't conventionally attractive in any sense. But, like, though he's, like, trying to pick her up, basically. It was just making me want to, like, gag. Because Bella goes, like, I thought you were someone that I knew. And the guy just goes, like, I'll be whatever you want, honey. And I'm like, ugh. Nasty. But yeah, so Bella jumps off on the back of this dude's motorcycle and they just go zoom zoomy. And in that scene, while Bella is kind of riding on the back of this dude's motorcycle, is when she starts seeing the visions and voices of Edward. But that doesn't happen in the book.
The last and only like thing I can think of that's different is in the book, Harry Clearwater has heart issues. But in the movie, he has a heart attack because he's scared by Victoria.
I was like trying to remember how they introduced Victoria. And they actually in the movie introduce her really, really early. Like in the very, very beginning when Bella and Edward are in, I'm assuming, Carlisle's study, looking at the photo of the Volturi, or the painting of the Volturi rather. Edward says something about like someone be protected from, and that's when Bella mentions like, oh yeah, Victoria. All said and done, like Edward comes back and Alice comes back, they never once talk about Victoria, I don't think.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like Victoria only comes back because she's terrorizing the wolves and then she jumps into the water, but when Alice gets back they never mention like the problem with Victoria at all. And I'm like, is this another plot hole? Like
we should probably be discussing this, guys. This is dangerous.
I mean, this is the people are literally dying because of Victoria, not the wolves. But then in the movie, they like, she falls off the face of the earth in terms of like things to be concerned about.
Yeah, like you see her in the water, like creeping, and then you really don't hear about her all like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did think it was cool that they tried to connect the wolves hunting Victoria and also like the same meeting point where Bella decides that she's gonna go cliff jumping, mm-hmm, or cliff diving. I was just like, oh okay, that's like a cool way to intersect the two. But other than that, they don't really mention the details of Victoria much. And then even the fact that they completely skip the part where Bella goes to the Cullen house to see if there's any like remnants of their existence, and there's only a scene where she goes to the meadow and then that's when she finds Laurent and then encounters the wolves and stuff like that. And that's why I'm saying, like, if you watch this movie and you didn't read the book and weren't really aware of the details, I feel like you'd be very confused of like the timeline and flow of this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff missing. It just goes so fast that you can't fit everything in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was a part in the movie that made me crack up so hard. It's when Bella and Jacob are working on the motorcycles and they get pizza delivered and Bella pays for the pizza, but then she takes a piece and she throws it at Jacob and then it turns into like a tool like in the next scene it like merges into a tool that he has to use. But I was cracking up because like, why would she freaking throw a pizza?
I would be so mad. He's probably so mad too. He's hungry. He's a growing wolf boy.
But like, what did she expect him to catch it with his mouth, to catch it with his hands? Like, why did she throw the pizza? It's like one slice of pizza and she just chucks it at him.
Splatters all over his forehead or something.
Yeah, like there's no possible way he'd be able to catch that without like any damage or the pizza getting everywhere. But that was just like a part that I thought was really funny.
That's how I felt when Jacob like flung himself up Bella's tree into her window, all parkour style. I lost it. I was like, no, he did not. Just like walk up the tree, do a backflip onto the wall, crawl up the wall a little bit, fling himself around, do a spinny, and into the window. But the thing is, people can really do that. So I was like, okay.
Get it. All right. There is another thing that I feel like we might have talked about it when we discussed the books, but it's just like seeing it in the movies, both Edward and Jacob, like after they're done discussing with Bella, whatever it is that they have to discuss in their like respective scenes, they just run off. There's no car. They just run off. And I'm like, why? Why don't they just drive to go see her?
Saving the environment.
Well, like, especially because it's not like Bella lives in the middle of nowhere. She has neighbors. This is a small town. Why aren't they?
For half a mile, they're just going to be leisurely strolling through Forks, Washington to get up to the Bella Swan's residence.
In Jacob's case, like, he runs into the forest, turns into a wolf, and then it's hard to detect. And I guess with Edward, it's like, well, he can run really fast, so like you won't be able to see him. But like, I don't know, why are these dudes always walking around, running back home, no car? No
time Jacob spends on fixing cars and motorcycles, he sure doesn't use them a lot.
Oh gosh,
what's with the sexual tension between Carlisle and Bella when he's like taking the glass out of her arm? It's
so
I was watching it. I'm like, oh my God, are they about to kiss right now?
They were so close to each other. When I watched it the first time, I was like, and we'll talk about the coloring of the movie, which is also very important. And just like, I guess the visual differences. So Carlisle in this movie, he doesn't have the same visual aesthetic as he did in Twilight, because I think the coloring that they chose in that scene where he's like fixing up Bella's wound, I was like, yep, he's still really beautiful. But Bella like has her hand on his waist.
She's gripping him.
Yeah. And I was like,
that is your boyfriend's dad's love. Like
they were so close to each other. They're like talking about Carlisle being damned. So the distance was so close. I was like, I'm losing my mind over here. But yeah, that was a lot of sexual tension in that one scene.
I was watching this with my boyfriend. He was like, that was probably, Christina's probably watching this like, I wish that were me. Were you watching that like, I wish that were me?
Well, yeah. But I also was like, is that how it is when people get stitches in that area? Like, does the doctor or whoever it is have the person like hold their arm in a way so that it's easy for, like, I don't know. I've never had stitches done, especially in that area of the arm. So I don't know, like, how exactly does that work, and what's the like closeness that the doctor has to be in order to do it correct?
If I'm getting stitches and the doctor is that close to me that we're about to kiss, I'm uncomfortable. Please back away, sir.
I'm surprised he didn't have Bella like rest her arm on like something. Like, does that make sense? Like, have her arm on the table?
Yeah. How can he see what he's doing?
What the heck?
I just want to know, like, what they were thinking directing that. Did they watch that and say, ah, yes, this definitely looks like a child and her boyfriend's father having a moment.
Oh, man.
This looks like the beginning of a movie that I will not discuss because not for children.
Maybe they did do it for the sake of fan service. They're like, the fans will love this. Even before then, in the birthday party scene, Bella cuts her finger when she's opening Carlisle and Esme's gift. I don't remember what their gift was.
Their gift was plane tickets in the book, but I don't understand how it was in that little box. Because that's not the shape of like plane tickets. That was mm-hmm. just a little box.
Also, I don't know. Oh, how did I forget this? In the very beginning, when Jacob goes to see Bella and wishes her a happy birthday, he gives her a dream catcher, which didn't happen in the book.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. It does happen.
I mean, I thought it was like an interesting way to, because he says like, oh yeah, it catches bad dreams. And then as the movie goes on, you obviously see that Bella has bad dreams. But I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to like tie in or do foreshadowing where you tie in what's going to happen.
So they just show like a 3 second clip of her screaming.
You're going to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, live with your mother.
I did think the scenes with Bella and her dad Charlie were pretty sweet though. Like even the scenes with Bella and her dad were just like heartwarming. I'm like, ah,
Yeah. Charlie's the best.
Charlie.
Love Charlie. Speaking of Charlie, I lose it every time. Jacob's like, you've been lying to everyone, to Charlie. Like he's about to kill a ton of people. You've been lying to everyone, to Charlie.
That part came up in the movie and I started cracking up. I expected more altercations between the way that Bella meets the wolves isn't the same.
No, in the movie, she meets them by just like charging up to them. Like, what the hell did you do to Jacob?
But in the book, it's like Bella had enough of just like Jacob not answering her calls or basically ignoring her. And so she very randomly drives up to his house and Jacob meets her at her car while it's raining and he's like, you need to go.
Does it ever say in the book or the movie why they just started turning into werewolves? Like, we're led to believe that this is something new that's happening, right? Because Sam is the first one to turn. Why is it just now happening? Haven't the Cullens been in Washington for a while? Why is this like a new common thing that's happening?
Yeah, I feel like in the movie they don't really invest much time into like talking about the whole transformation. And even the reason that Jacob transforms is different in the book than it is in the movie. Like he transforms in the book because Jacob, like he was already upset and angry, but then his dad says something and then that's when he like finally makes his full transformation. But he in the movie, this is when Bella, Jacob, and Mike all go to the theater to watch a movie. Jacob just suddenly gets mad and like focuses that energy towards Mike. And then like he notices himself that he like is like starting to do a change and he's suddenly like, I gotta go home. But it's assumed that the reason that he's changing is because like Jacob got upset over Bella not wanting to be with him and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's not really how it happened in the book. But I guess in the movie they are really trying to force the whole love triangle. So doing it that way would have been enforcing like, oh, it's because Jacob's mad at Edward for taking Bella.
The New Moon book really does drag on, and it kind of seems like it's kind of dull at some point, but it kind of is necessary because when you put it into movie format, it just doesn't make as much sense. You miss so much. There's so many little details that you don't get with it. But I wonder if they would have had time to add those little details if they had spent less time on shirtless Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, I do wonder. But like I said, I feel like they still didn't invest that much time in the werewolves portion though.
No.
Because I feel like I mean, it's hard to drag out the whole motorcycle building thing, but like that scene happened like 5 minutes. The motorcycle was done. They're riding the motorcycles, but they don't really talk much about like the whole wolf concept.
Yeah, speaking of motorcycles, why does Jacob not have Bella wear a helmet?
Helmet.
For how accident prone she is. She like smacks her head on a rock.
I know, she
And then
literally
takes off a
head
dirty, sweaty
first.
shirt and sticks it on her wound. That's disgusting.
Head first smacks her head into the fucking rock. I was like, this bitch is gonna get a concussion. They don't even go to the hospital either. Man, I really feel like they just kind of like zoomied through all the scenes in the movie.
The movie really is just like New Moonlight. But I feel like it defeats the purpose of what New Moon is, to take away the like pain and groveling of Bella and the depression and all of that. Like, what is this movie about? Like, if somebody asked me what the New Moon movie was about, I don't know.
Literally, you could like you just describe it as, well, Bella's boyfriend leaves, she gets sad, she finds Jacob,
boyfriend.
Yeah, she finds a new dude, and then they have to go save Edward. Like,
I understand that in the book, the lines between their friendship and being something weirder and more is, like, kind of blurry, but that doesn't even exist in the movie. It literally is just, like, this is her new guy, and then that's it.
That's it. Yeah, you don't see any, like, internal conflict, at least much of it. And I feel like there aren't even that many scenes with Bella and Jacob for them to, like, engage in this, like, weird whatever relationship that they're brewing. Yeah,
it's kind of sad considering that the director said he wanted to make this for the fans, and if he thinks this is what the fans wanted, he missed very much.
He missed quite a bit. I was just looking in the what's it called, the official illustrated movie companion book for New Moon, which I for some reason still kept on even though I haven't rewatched this movie in a while. There was like a line in here that said that the challenge for the filmmakers for this movie is that they wanted to show like heartbreak. And I was like, I didn't feel it.
They didn't do that at all.
They didn't do it well. I didn't feel that emotional distress and heartbreak in this movie.
Yeah, they showed more about rebounding after a relationship and how to get over it rather than the actual heartbreak that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I do think it was like visually cool how they showed the passing of time through Bella sitting at the window. I still wanted more emotional distress. And then we're like, depressed Bella, show me depressed Bella.
The emotional distress we got was her screaming for 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was fine, literally.
I was still kind of bothered by the scene when she's like running in the woods. No, she wasn't even running. Like, Edward disappears after he like kisses her forehead, and then I don't know, she just like stumbles around, and then suddenly it's dark and she trips once and decides to just kind of crawl in a ball on the floor.
Did she even trip or did she just lay down?
I think she like slipped on something and then like decided not to get up, but then she heard growling. She heard growling, and then she like gets up and tries to hide near this like fallen tree, and then you like see the eyes and the outline of a wolf. But I don't know, that whole scene I was like, this is kind of whack. Like, they I feel like it should have been more. There's nothing more to that.
Yeah, that's like the key word for this movie. It's just like lacking.
Mm-hmm. The key word for today's episode, this movie's just really lacking. Oh my gosh, any of the car scenes where they're driving were so horribly done. I'm like, you had the budget. Why didn't you just film the scenes driving in the car? I don't know. They did it in the way where it's like, you know, the makeshift car and then like that CGI background driving. And I'm like, why won't you just do it? Just have the car set up. You have the money, just do the car. They spent all the money going to Italy and they were like, well, we don't have money for anything else now.
When they go to Italy, it's pretty much the same as in the book, just a quicker version. They don't show the whole process of them like getting to Italy,
mm-hmm.
or after they see the Volturi, because in the book they have to spend like 8 hours chilling in the chamber. Literally don't see that. We don't know if they did that in the movie, because next thing we see, they're back in Washington.
Storytelling. I was a little sad they didn't have the scene of Alice paying the guard to let them through.
I know. That's so iconic.
A little disappointed.
So much Alice.
Mm-hmm.
For how much of the book's climax relies on them being in Italy and Bella saving Edward and all of that jazz, they don't spend much time on it at all. It's really, once again, lacking.
Mm-hmm. It's like, so in the book, the only reason that Bella knows more about the Volturi is because she asks Alice while they're on the plane. In the movie, Edward kind of talks about it when they're in the study, but that study scene actually happens in Twilight, but that didn't happen in the movie. So they had to switch a lot of like different scenes around in order to like, I don't know, basically set up each of the story plot lines so that you kind of would be able to follow if you didn't already know how the movie and books were supposed to go. In terms of like the scenes in Italy when they filmed it, like I guess that is how I imagined it, maybe. I don't know. For some reason, I thought it would be a lot bigger, like visually bigger maybe it's because they just filled it with so many people that it seemed a lot smaller or narrower of a like visual space as Bella's running through the crowd. But
yeah, I get what you mean.
You know what I mean? I also was trying to like compare if the spot that they filmed the Italy scene was similar to any of the places that I got to go see when I was in Italy. And I guess the closest thing was when we went to Assisi, which is like one of the smaller towns. Behind the scenes for the movie, they like built the fountain. Like that fountain doesn't exist in that location. They had to build it out of wood. And I was like, oh, was there a fight scene when they went to see the Volturi?
No, there wasn't. Okay. The director literally said he added it because New Moon was so like dreary and it dragged on so much that he thought the fans deserved a little action.
Okay, that's what I thought. That whole fight scene was happening when they were finally met with the Volturi. And in my head, I was like, this didn't happen.
We didn't need the fight scene.
We didn't want a fight scene. We wanted depressed Bella.
I think we should write a strongly worded letter to the director of New Moon,
who has a movie repertoire of very, very strange, like the movies don't match. They're so random. The films that this director has directed.
Yes. Some of the movies that he directed, I was like, what? Like American Pie, the 2015 live action Cinderella.
You said Star Wars, right?
Movie, The Golden Compass, like Pinocchio. He was the writer and producer on Pinocchio. Like, I don't.
What?
Like the new Pinocchio that's coming out, I guess. I really feel like this movie could have benefited from Catherine Hardwick directing it.
Honestly, I do too. Another point that we know for sure we want to talk about on this episode was just the color differences. If you watch the first Twilight movie, you know it's very iconic in its blue hue and the blue coloring all throughout the movie. In New Moon, the standout color is like gold and yellow, and apparently the reasoning for that is because New Moon was supposed to be like Jacob's movie and he offers like warmth back into Bella's life, so that's why they use a lot of gold coloring. And you can kind of also see it in the eyes of the Cullen vampires, because they're using the gold contact lenses to show that they're not like ravenous or thirsty or, you know, dangerous vampire. Which, like, I guess I understand the gold coloring and, like, its purpose and use in this movie, but I don't know. There wasn't much Jacob in this movie anyway, and I'm like, I think you still could have gone with the gold, with the blue.
Yeah, I agree. The lack of the blue cast made me sad. The gold wasn't bad, though, but the director said he wanted the film to have a more, like, classic look instead of a rock and roll look that the first one had. So I guess he thinks that the warm tones gives it a more romantic, Shakespearean feel. Hey, I'm not saying that the thought process is well thought out. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's there.
It's there. That's what they intended it to be, but that might not be how it was executed in our opinion. But yeah, so that was one thing that we knew for sure we wanted to talk about, just the color differences. Kristen Stewart looked beautiful in this movie. She looked gorgeous in this movie. I was like, oh my god, she's beautiful.
The gold cast really does something for her.
It did. I mean, like, you could really tell that her hair was like a really deep brown and stuff like that, which was pretty nice, and her eyebrows were done really well. Edward, I don't know what they did to him, but like New Moon Edward and Twilight Edward visually aren't the same. Like, obviously because they're, you know, he's aged, but like they didn't style him the same, if that makes sense. They didn't style any of them the same, if that makes sense. But the scenes where Edward is in Italy, like, he looks so tired, if that makes sense. Like, he no longer looks as like ethereal as he was meant to be. And I'm like, is it because he's so sad about Bella? But like, he's already an immortal being, so how does he look worse? Does that make sense?
He had literally been wearing the same suit from like September until May. Of course he looked at least a little bit trashy. He's Edward Cullen, but if you let him wear the exact same suit and not fucking change.
But
he's gonna look a little raggedy.
But do the vampires really need to like check on, I don't know. I just have always been under the appearance that it's like after you turn into a vampire, you don't need to care about your appearance because your appearance is already just like perfect. Does that make sense? Like, does that make sense?
I'm not sure why he looks so disheveled. It probably is just because he's upset.
I guess. I mean, I guess I could argue and say that, like, maybe he wasn't, maybe he didn't, like, feed to help regain his strength. So he didn't, like, drink blood from any animals that he might have caught or whatever. So maybe that affected his appearance. But I don't know. He looked pretty rough. There's also, like, very, very clear visual differences in the rest of the Cullens. But that's just because they have a different team styling them this time for the movie. Like, we talk about Rosalie's wig.
Rosalie's wig is so bad.
It's so clearly a wig.
I mean, Jacob's wig also, but at least Rosalie's got to keep that wig. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. And then Esme's hair is completely different. In the first Twilight movie, her hair is dark. In the second one, it's like
red.
Yeah, like a brassy color. And I'm like, wait a second. Hair? That's not what you looked like before.
Does hair dye work on vampires? Alice looked so good in this movie. She's so chic.
I am a little sad that they didn't talk about, because Bella and Alice don't really get their moment where Bella talks or asks Alice about, like, how the Cullens were doing since they left.
Yeah, Alice refuses to sleep over because of Jacob in the movie instead of staying like she does in the book.
I don't even think they get the opportunity for her to sleep over, because I swear it was like Alice comes back and then Jacob comes back to make sure that Bella is safe, and then Edward calls, and then suddenly they're like, we gotta go to Italy. Like, there wasn't even a chance for Alice to talk to Charlie and see how Bella's been doing, and there wasn't a chance for Bella to ask Alice how the Cullens were, what did they do while they were away and stuff like that. Like, reading it in the book, you're like, oh, whoa, Carlisle, Esme, and Jasper are all in Ithaca and blah, 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 blah.
I wish I could have watched this movie without reading the book, because I can piece together things that don't quite make sense in the movie, so I don't really know where the things that aren't making sense are. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have no base knowledge, so I could be like, oh, okay, well, I'm watching this movie for the first time and this doesn't make sense. It makes sense to us because we know what's going on, but...
Like, I see your point. Maybe because we do know the differences and the details in the book since we read that first, we're like even more hyper aware of the differences in the movies and what was taken out and stuff like that, and we can piece together all of the missing scenes. But
the more and more I think about this, the more I feel like the Twilight Saga would have been better as a TV show instead of a couple movies.
Ooh, that's an interesting concept. Like, it will never happen, but
never happen. Could you imagine? And if it did happen, it would be so bad. The time has passed.
Could you imagine it as like a CW series?
That's exactly what it would be. Oh no, I'm thinking about it.
Honestly, that is possible, just considering how popular it was. Not now, but like in the give it a decade, another decade maybe.
Yeah, I mean, didn't the CW do Heathers? And maybe The Craft? Maybe I made these up.
I know there was like a Heathers inspired episode in that one show. Was it Riverdale?
Yeah, there was a Heathers revival TV show, though. I don't know
if
it was.
Oh.
But it was bad.
I didn't see it, so I don't know what you're referring to. But I know there was a Heathers themed episode on Riverdale.
They should do a Twilight themed episode on something.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, you are right. I feel like they would have been able to definitely add more details. From the book, if it was a TV show, like you would be able to get more depth in the storyline if they had more time to talk about all those details.
Yeah, they should have done that, like how Pretty Little Liars, that had like 15 books.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
That would have been a good thing to do. Just lay it all out.
I can't believe Twilight's gonna be a television series in like 10 years.
I can't believe we're gonna be the ones to write it.
Oh my god. In our 30s, holy shit. Watch out, Hollywood. We're gonna be the screenwriter. We're writing the script for the Twilight television series.
All right, quick, let me log into my old fan fiction account. The script already outlined
somewhere. Oh my gosh. Are there any other differences before we go into final thoughts and notes for the movie?
No differences I can think of, except that the person who plays Sam is different. And he plays Sam so well in this movie. He's played by a different actor in the first movie. I didn't realize that until I was looking it up.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
I was looking up the guy, and then it said he played him in the Twilight Saga, but not Twilight. I was like, what the heck?
Oh. What the heck?
Some guy named Solomon plays him in the first movie. I was like, who the hell is that?
Solomon. When Quill and Embry meet Bella and Jacob in Jacob's garage thingy, I obviously you know that one of them turns into a wolf or joins Sam's pack first, but I couldn't remember which one. And then when you finally do meet the rest of the wolf boys, I still couldn't figure out which one of the two it was. It wasn't until I looked at the movie companion book that I realized it was the Embry, the long-haired one, is the one that turns first. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, they don't give the wolves enough time or credit in the movie.
They really don't. And I feel like that kind of defeats the whole purpose of this book. Or most of the purpose of this book is to introduce the wolves, and they don't really do that.
Which really sucks, because that like you said, that is the entire premise of this book for part of it, is the wolves. We don't know much about the wolves if you haven't read the books now. I feel bad for people who just watch the movies. They'll never know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just goes to show why this movie is also the least favorite of the of the five movies.
Yeah.
Of the five movies that they put out for this series. I mean, the book is obviously our least favorite, but the movie also not our favorite either. In terms of other differences, I can't think of any, but for final notes, I feel like we're just regurgitating information that we've already said multiple times throughout this entire episode. Just the fact that, like you said, Tori, it is lacking. There were so many details that they omitted, I guess, for the sake of time. But then they add the fucking fight scene, and I'm like, you could have used that time for another portion.
Yeah, it really just shows how little I feel like the director knew the audience of Twilight.
I don't even think he read the book.
I don't think he did. I don't think the people on his team read the book. I think he might have read the book, but I think I read that his like team didn't read the book. His like whole research came from Stephanie and the book. He didn't do any other like research outside of that.
So some people who worked on the first movie worked on this one as well. Like the screenwriter is the same, or the screenplay person is the same, and there's like other people on the team that remain for this movie. The director obviously was different, and they used, you know, different people for the special effects, and they used different people for the bigger production pieces. But I mean, you're probably right that the director did read the book, but I feel like he didn't. To me, it feels like he didn't read the book.
He like missed the point of the book.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they might have spark noticed it.
Yeah, he's literally like, it dragged on and on and on. Let's add a fight scene.
Let's add a fight scene.
I did think it was kind of nice that the director required all of the people auditioning to be in the wolf pack to show prove documentation of Native American heritage. But I think it's funny that Taylor Lautner's literally just like German and French and Dutch. The main one in the pack is literally just a white guy.
I mean, they really did say we want an eye candy for the role of Jacob, and then that's how they approach that. The thing that I saw and looked into with the Dreamcatcher thing, that's not a Quileute thing.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me that it's not.
And I'm like, I feel like they should have done a little bit of research to be like, okay, we want to introduce Dream, like an aspect of Dream. Is there anything within the history or background of the reservation that they could actually utilize so that it, you know, stays true-ish to the culture?
Then require them doing research, which I
also, this is a movie, so
I saw a Dreamcatcher at a Native American fair once. Let's get it.
Like that's what it
thought process.
That is what it reminded me of. I feel like I feel like somebody in the storyboard room was like, guys, Dreamcatchers.
that seems Native American, right? Dreamcatchers? Let's add one.
Yeah, let's add one.
To really drive home the fact that Jacob's, you know, from the res.
Yeah. That was like one thing that I know definitely bothered me, because I had a feeling they didn't really put much like thought and research into it, and I think I was correct in that assumption.
Yeah, they did the absolute bare minimum of at least having Native American people play Native American people. Thank you for that. But
at least
They spent all of their budget on the copious amounts of t-shirts for Taylor Lautner from The Gap and Banana Republic.
I did see that for the Italy scene, because they needed so many extras. There were like contests for fans to potentially win so that they could be an extra, which I'm sure I remember seeing that when I was, you know, when this was going on in the beginning and being like, I wish I could do that. But
that would be so fun.
I know, that would have been so fun. But also they had so many, because the the movie was so big and the series was so popular then, they had like so many fans waiting, like just watching the filming, even if they weren't extras. And I'm like, that's a little, that's really overwhelming considering like they were filming the scenes in Italy in such a small spot. Mm-hmm. So it must have been like very congested. And a big tourist trap for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy just the size of how popular it was when the first movie came out versus how popular it was when the second movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was kind of big when the first movie came out, but that really solidified it being super mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
When Twilight came out, it was just people like us who were super into the book, but then it became everybody had seen Twilight and knew what it was. So, of course, they had a bigger budget, different director. It's just different. It's a different experience.
It was a different experience. I was looking into it before. I think it's when we were talking about the Twilight movie, the first one, though. Because I wanted to see, like, did the locations where they filmed all of these kind of take advantage of the fact that these are, you know, just, like, key places that people might want to see if they're fans of the series. And I can't remember which town in Italy it is, but apparently they like it, you can go to this place and they do have just like spots that are very like, oh yeah, Twilight was filmed here, blah, blah, blah.
The house that the Collins live in this movie is different than it is in the first movie. I forgot to say that. And you can find that house on like a Zillow or something. I looked at the interior of the second Cullen house. It's in like British Columbia or something. It's not even in America. It's not even American.
It's not even an American house. They had to rebuild the Swan Resident house for the second movie. So they didn't even film on location like they did in the first movie.
Maybe that's what takes away some of the charm.
I think so too.
Like, the low budget, honestly, is kind of what gives Twilight some of the charm. And now that it was more of, like, a bigger box office thing, it felt more of, like, a blockbuster movie and not just a little cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
Remake of a book that we love, you know?
Yeah, I think that is exactly it. They just, like, didn't have Tyler in this movie at all.
Oh, yeah. What happened to him?
I don't know. It's just, like, completely... They, like, I mean, the actor is also not alive anymore, I think. Well, yeah, right? The actor.
Did he die?
I swear to goodness, we looked this up before Tori.
I mean, probably. I just have the memory of a goldfish, so.
I'm pretty sure we looked this up before and we kept talking about it.
Wait, I knew that he died. Never mind.
See? I knew we talked about it.
I just have the memory of a literal goldfish.
But yeah, But he died recently, right?
Yeah, he died of a fentanyl overdose, I guess.
What year was that?
Last year, 2020.
Yeah, so it's not like he wasn't available, I think, during the time of this movie. They just, like, completely X'd off his character for the New Moon movie. It is very hard for us to stay unbiased with like talking about and reviewing this movie because we read the book and we know the details, and also we're fans of the series, so it's like we want better. We deserve better as fans. I don't know if I have any other final notes, but I'm sure you can figure out how we feel after listening to this episode. Looking forward to our next episode. We're gonna start reading Eclipse, so we have finally moved on to the third book of the series. And I could not tell you what it was about.
I literally don't remember Eclipse in the slightest.
I mean, if you're just thinking logically, Victoria resurfaces.
There's a fight and that's all I know.
I know there's like that whole scene with trying to like hide Bella, but then Edward can't keep her warm, so Jacob's there and he acts like a human sleeping bag. And
oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but I don't remember, like, that's the movie version. But I remember
how they get there. I just said, why are they in the tent? How did they get there? We will find out. I don't remember anything about that book, so
we're gonna find out. Well, also, they end the movie, literally the last scene in the movie is Edward saying to Bella that the only condition he has if he's going to turn her into a vampire is that she has to marry him, and then it ends.
And she just goes,
he literally goes, marry me, and then she's like, and then it ends. And then they're like, eclipse, 2010.
I hated this ending. I hate this movie too. He said he made it for the fans, but he did not. He made it for the masses.
That's bullshit. But I don't even think the masses was like, this is a great, who watched this movie and was like, this is a good movie. Yeah, it's going to be interesting getting back into reading again. We're always like, read, read, read. And then we take a break to watch the movie. And then we're like, read, read, read. If you don't have anything else to add.
No, I'm good.
Then that about wraps up this episode. Thank you again for listening. And remember to tune in every other Monday as we fall right back into our Twilight obsession like it's 2008 again.
You can find Call in the Shots on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your usual podcasting platforms.
Come sit with us next time at lunch for more of our sparkling personalities. Bye!